Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. That all the world will praise Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. That all the world will praise your great name. Your great name.
Because can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You have no rival.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name.
Every knee shall bow. Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, we just want to pray for our pastor this morning. As Carl said, don't use me, Lord. Make me usable. We just pray you pour your spirit out on him. Father, thank you for the good report last night we got from camp. How your spirit's moving among the teenagers, among our youth leaders. Autumn said it was like a blanket. You covered them like a blanket last night. Father, I just pray you cover us this morning. Cover us like a blanket in this house this morning, Father, and just pour your spirit out on us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers come forward.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins today. And that, as we think on that, we also think that we are here to worship and glorify you. Now bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Once we were lost and so
This time, the children may be dismissed to children's church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This morning we will finish chapter 5, and as we do, it's letting us see the completion of a bigger thought. The thought started with, your righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the religious elite of that day, who tried to use the word of God to create their own righteousness. And Jesus said, your righteousness needs to be greater than theirs, or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus says that he talks about agreeing with your adversary, and he talks about a lot of issues that the people had because they had wronged others. And they shouldn't be looking for ways to get away with it, but instead they should look for ways to make it right. So as you're turning to Matthew chapter 5, Walter took his wife Ethel to the state fair every year. And every time he would say to her, Ethel, you know that I'd love to go for a ride in that helicopter. But Ethel would always reply, I know that, Walter, but that helicopter ride is $50. And $50 is $50. Finally, they went to the fair, and Walter said to Ethel, Ethel, you know I'm 87 years old now. If I don't ride that helicopter this year, I may never get another chance. And once again, Ethel replied, Walter, you know that helicopter is $50. And $50 is $50. This time, the helicopter pilot overheard the couple's conversation and said, listen, folks, I'll make a deal with you. I'll take both of you for a ride if you can both stay quiet for the entire ride and not say a word. I won't charge you. But if you say just one word, it's $50. Walter and Ethel agreed, and they went up into the helicopter. The pilot performed all kinds of fancy moves and tricks, but not a word was said by either Walter or Ethel. The pilot did his death-defying tricks over and over again, but still there wasn't so much as one word said. When they finally landed, the pilot turned to Walter and said, wow, I've got to hand it to you. I did everything I could to get you to scream or shout, but you didn't say a word. I am really impressed. Walter replied, well, to be honest, I almost said something when Ethel fell out. But you know, $50 is $50. Matthew chapter 5. Let's read verses 43 through 48 here. It says, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain upon the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same thing? And if you salute your brothers only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's pray together. Lord God, I just pray that we would understand what it means this morning to be perfect according to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First thing that we see here is it's the last statement of things in chapter 5 that Jesus says, you have heard it has been said. And then he tells them his own thinking, his own way, which is the right way. So the first thing he says, you have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, right? You've heard that. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This actually is taken from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. So real quick, turn there in your Bible. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. It says this, You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, does it say there to hate your enemies? No, it says there, love your neighbor. But he used the phrase, your people, in Leviticus 19. And so the rabbis, they got together and they're like, well, we like this. Treat your neighbor good, your own people good, but it doesn't say we can't hate other people. In fact, because it says to love our neighbor or love our own people, we can think the opposite of that as well, that we can hate our enemy. And so the rabbis started teaching, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Now that's just terrible, isn't it? Isn't that the world, the way the world operates today, though? Watch the news for 3 minutes, and you're going to be told, love the people who think like you, hate the people who don't think like you. Love the people who look like you, hate the people that don't look like you. It's all over the news. It's all over the media. All day, every day. And I don't care what station you watch. So what makes someone your enemy? Is it because they don't take the same political platform that you do? So let me just insert this here. All right, this is free, not in my notes. This is the Spirit of God weighing heavy on my heart today. When you say the Democrats or you say the Republicans, you know what you're doing? You're throwing a really wide net. And you're going to talk down somebody you probably shouldn't be talking down. And let me encourage you, don't cast that wide net. And don't hate somebody just because they stand in a different political party than you do. Or don't hate somebody because they don't like either political party. But if politics makes someone an enemy, then we've got a lot of issues, don't we? A lot of issues that we can't solve. Is someone an enemy just because you can't agree on everything? So when it says here, you have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, in the context of this passage of chapter 5, this is a person that you have failed in your dealings with them. They are an enemy because somehow, during the course of your interactions, you failed them in some way, and maybe they responded poorly. Maybe it's all their fault that they didn't handle your slight of them, but you are contributing to them being an enemy. Maybe you harmed them. Or maybe you just retaliated against them, but you did it in your own sinfulness, and you have an enemy. So here's what Jesus says. Jesus holds us to a higher standard, just like he has throughout the entirety of this message. He's held them, not just don't kill somebody, but don't even hate them. Don't even think wrong about them. Definitely don't say anything negative about them. So Jesus is taking it to the heart. They'd heard it said, don't commit adultery. And he's like, no, don't even look on a woman to lust after her. And so Jesus is taking everything deeper. And he takes this thought that they had so grossly misinterpreted scripture with. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. And he turns it all upside down. He says in verse 44, he says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Now, this is really important, those three words, love your enemies. I want you to understand something. He's saying, love your enemies. These are enemies through your living. These aren't God's enemies. I mean, I guess in a way they might have been able to have be God's enemies, but these are really your enemies. People you don't like, people you don't get along with, people that you have issues. Jesus says, love your. So in my Bible, I circled the word your. I underlined it. Because now here's the application for me. I got to love my enemies. We live like the people had heard. It's so built into us. And this might be kind of the American way of thinking. Love your enemy is not part of American thinking. We have a hard enough time just loving our neighbor, right? So now to love my enemy, it goes against everything that my flesh, my sinfulness, says that I should do. Again, I think because of the context of this passage, maybe it was because you did something through your actions that made this person an enemy. It would seem to suggest that it's in part due to your actions that you even have an enemy. So Jesus doesn't stop there with love your enemies. He says, bless them that curse you. Look at verse 47. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so. We should do more. We should have a higher standard than just saying, all right, I'm going to tolerate my enemy. I'm going to tolerate the person who curses me. And Jesus turns it all around. And he says, no. Bless them. Bless them. If all you can do is bless the people who you like, the unsaved world can do that. And they do. Again, watch CNN for 5 minutes. You're going to find a panel of people that love a person. And you're going to find a panel of, well, usually a person or two, that hates a person. And what is it? It's ideology. Fox News, watch it for 2 seconds. They're going to hate, and show love, based on the way that they think. So now we're dealing more with than just someone who is your enemy. Now these people aren't just enemies in, you know, rivalry. Now these are people that are actually cursing you. Because we are taught, if someone curses you, you stand up and fight. And Jesus is saying, no, bless them. Have you ever blessed someone that was cursing you? I was working in a shop, and one of the guys, his name was Ron Burleson, and his bay was right next to mine in the shop, and he was just a cranky guy. All right, had been a mechanic all his life, and he just was cranky, and I would always try to lighten his day, and he bought a new set of wrenches from Snap-on, and he snapped one of his new wrenches. And oh my goodness, the vulgarity and profanity, and he's throwing stuff and cursing and yelling. And I went over to him, I'm like, hey, Ron, you're always asking God to damn all of your work. And he's just answering your request. I said, I tell you what, let's ask God to bless your work. He literally threw his broken wrench at me. And every day I would try to encourage Ron. I really did. I tried to encourage him. But he hated my faith. Hated my faith. Because when something would go wrong with me, I'd be like, well, let's figure something else out. When something went wrong with him, it was the end of the world. And one day, he had gone through 3 wrenches. Okay, and these all have lifetime warranties on them. And these never break. Like, the salesman's like, I have never seen one break before. And he snapped it again. And he looked over at me. And he goes, God bless it. All right? out of utter and complete frustration. And I kid you not, the bolt that he was trying to undo in the engine literally fell out. And he looked at me and I said, God. That's God, right? See, here's what we do, though, when people curse and when people, especially when they direct it towards us, we return cursing. We may not curse them with the same vulgarity, but we curse them with coldness. We curse them with just the anger in our demeanor. And Jesus says here, no, bless them. Now, the next part's even harder. Before we go to the next part, Matthew chapter 5, go back to verse 10. We already preached this, but this is a really good reminder right here. Because really what Jesus is doing, he's reiterating the salty attitudes. In verse 10, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And since you are blessed, when you are blessed, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you are already possessed with the ability to bless those who curse you. So now the third thing. Do good to them that hate you. I don't like this stuff here, do you? Yeah, we got one spiritual person. Lie. No. Do good to them that hate you. Now, what's the difference between loving your enemy and doing good to someone who hates you? See, an enemy, they may never deal with you. They may never talk to you. They're just the rival, right? But now when you have this person that hates you, they demonstrate that hatred through attitude. Okay, why is it that we get so upset on the road? Because we don't like to do good to those who hate us. I was driving to my daughter's play on Friday night, and we turn off of the county road onto 58th Street to go to the Mattawan High School, and this car behind me, he just, and he passes me. I'm like, okay. And literally, when we pulled into the parking lot to park, I was right behind him. Because there were cars in front of him. And I thought, what is the big deal? You know how sometimes we respond to that? Their hate breeds our hate. So you know, when I saw him buzzing around me, I didn't step on the gas and go, oh yeah, let's see if you can get by me before the oncoming traffic gets you, buddy. No, I hit the brakes. Why? What good does it do to return hate to hate? Now again, the context of this passage, you may have wronged them and created the hatred. They may hate you because you love Jesus. But what does hating someone do for you? Jesus tells us to be better than loving those who like us and hating those who hate us. Jesus says, do good. Do good specifically to those who hate you. There are some Americans who were stationed in Korea during the Korean War. And while there, they rented a home and hired a local boy to cook and clean for them. These Americans were a bunch of jokesters, and they would take advantage of the young boy's naivety. They'd smear Vaseline on the stove handles so that when he turned the stove on in the morning, he'd get grease all over his fingers. They'd put water buckets over the door so that he'd get deluged when he opened the door. And they'd even nail his shoes on the floor during the night. Day after day, endless, the little boy just took the brunt of their practical jokes without saying a thing. No blame, no self-pity, no temper tantrums. Finally, the men felt guilty about what they were doing, and so they brought the little boy in and sat down with the little Korean boy and said, "Look, we know that these pranks aren't funny anymore, and we're sorry. We're never going to take advantage of you again." And it seemed a bit too good to be true to the little boy, so he said, "No more sticky on the stove?" "No," they said. "No more water on the door?" "No," they said. "No more nail the shoes to the floor?" "Nope, never again." "Okay," said the boy with a smile, "no more spit in the soup." Okay, that's how we usually respond to those who hate, right? And we justify it. See, we've taken this verse, this great key to Christian living that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and we do unto others as they do unto us. Right? I was at a men's Bible study that was not here with these men. Okay, it was in Edwardsburg, Michigan. And we were doing a men's Bible study. And one of the guys, he goes, "Well, the Bible says to do unto others as they do unto you. That's the golden rule." I'm like, whoa. No, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oh, well, I don't like the golden rule anymore. When others hate and show hatred towards us, we are to do good to them. But then Jesus takes a step further. In verse 44, he says, "And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Acting out against people that cause persecution to you, it only causes more persecution. So here's what Jesus says. Pray for them. And I know some of you are so degenerate, you're thinking right now, "Yep, I do. I pray that God will smite them." I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands how many were thinking that. You're like, "Oh yeah, I pray for them. I pray that God will hit them with the hammer." I think we're supposed to pray in the same attitude of what we've already been told. In love, to love our enemies, in good. And so when we pray for them, we're praying for their good, not for their demise. The only hope for your persecutor is for them to know the Jesus you know. And if your persecutor knows the Jesus you know and they're still your persecutor, than to follow the Jesus that they know. So pray for them. Jesus shared a story about how to do this blessing, doing good, and praying for those who are adversarial. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus shares one of the great stories that's ever been told. It's retold over and over again. It's the Good Samaritan. So let's just look at this. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus talks about a man. In verse 25, Jesus is asked a question. What do I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus gives this response. Jesus says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. So then in verse 30, Jesus tries to explain to them how to love people. He says a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. All right, it's a good journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a good trip there. And literally, when it says go down, he went down. In fact, Psalm 23. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. When you go down from Jerusalem toward Jericho, you know what the easiest route as far as distance is? It's a place called the valley of the shadow of death. Because it's in the shadow all the time of the mountain that Jerusalem is built on. So this man goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. They stripped him of what he was wearing. They wounded him, and they left him half dead. By chance, a priest went that way. Now, the priests were the guys who stood in the temple and did the work of God and offered sacrifices for sin. And so if you're hearing this, you're going, all right, the priest, he's going to help the guy. And the priest passes by on the other side. This is one of his own brothers. This is a person, Leviticus 19:18 says, do good to those who are of your people and love them. And the priest that Jesus is talking about, he didn't do that. He didn't even show compassion to his own brother. And then the next person to come by was a Levite. The Levites, by birth, attended to the work of God. And the Levite sees him and, whoa, and he passes on the other side as well. So then verse 33, a certain Samaritan, ooh, the Samaritans. As soon as the Jews that Jesus was speaking to, as soon as the Israelites that Jesus was talking to, as soon as they would have heard Samaritan, they'd have been like, boo, hiss. Because they hated the Samaritans. Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile. They created their own place to worship. They didn't even worship at Jerusalem, where the right worship took place. And so they would have just thought, oh, the Samaritan, he's trash. So Jesus uses a Samaritan, the type of person that they would have hated. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. He went and bound up all of his wounds, poured oil and wine on him, put him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, before he left, he took out 2 days' wages and gave it to the host and said, take care of him. Whatever you spend more than this, when I pass through again, I'll pay it. Jesus asked this question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? And of course, they said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. I mean, the Samaritan had hatred toward the Jews, but a lot of their hatred toward the Jews was a response to the Jews' hatred towards them. They were returning evil with evil. And so Jesus shares an example of someone who could love and demonstrate that love by doing good to someone who was naturally their enemy. Go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Jesus shares all this about loving your enemy, blessing them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And then in verse 45, he says, that. You do this, that. Why do we love and bless and do good and pray for? We do that, that. We can be called or like a child of our Father in heaven. We say that God is our Father. If we hate those who hate us, we do not show that we are children of God. If we don't do good to those who harm us, if we don't bless them and pray for them, then we do not show that we are children of God. We do this to show that we are children of God. Children of God do not return hate with hate. Live like a child of your Father in heaven. Go back to verse 16. Same passage, Matthew 5. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, what good works? Not just that you're pious, not just that you're religious. No, that you can rise above the standards of the world and love those that hate and bless those that are bad to you and pray for them and do good to them. That is light that shines, that shows the light of your Father. And if you don't do this, then you're concealing the light and you're hiding it under a bushel. So how do we accomplish this? Well, keep reading in verse 46. We've got to read the rest of verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For, this is our Father, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. How do we do this? God makes the sun to rise and shine. He sends the rain on the evil and the good. If God does that, he will empower you to do what you need to do. If you are his child, this is not just a possibility. This is the most probable thing that will take place. And then verse 5, if you only love and salute those you like, or number 5 in your bulletin here, if you only love and salute those that you like, how are you any different than the lost? We're not. We're just like the lost. If we can't live this way. So then Jesus, he concludes all this by saying, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is about 25 years ago. It's exactly 25 years ago, July. I was down in Alabama. Went to a church to preach for a week. Hold VBS for the kids, and then the evening we were doing stuff for the teenagers. And so while I was down there in Alabama, when I got there, it was really weird. The pastor, he took us out to eat, and there were two lines. One line was really short, and one line was really long. And I'm like, let's get in the short line. And he grabbed me and said, no, you can't. That's the line for the black people. And I went, what? And then later on, I was getting ready to go out and start inviting people to come out to the special services that we were having that Sunday, which were kicking off everything for the rest of the week. And he said, don't you dare go to a black person's house and invite them. They're not welcome. And I looked at him and I said, how in the world can you say that? And he said, this is our church's stance. I was so grieved. I said, well, what if I do that? He said, I will shut the meetings down and we'll put you on a plane and send you back home. I was like, my goodness. So I asked him, I said, okay, why are you this way? Why do you have this attitude? Why do you have this sinfulness? And he said, well, it's not sinfulness for us. He said, I'm sure they feel the same way. Okay, you don't know how angry I was. So I start going door to door. And guess what? I came to a house. There's a beautiful black family that opened the door. And guess what I did? I shared Jesus with them. And I invited them to come out to the meetings. And they were all ready to come until they heard the name of the church. And they said, oh no, we can't go there. Now, that seems pretty extreme, right? It was awful. It's terrible. And we can look and we can say, okay, because of race, yeah, it's really wrong to be that kind of divisive. Okay, but let's get honest about politics. Right? And I hope God just hits you over the head with a sledgehammer right now. Because if somebody were to come in and say, well, I'm this political party, and they started to tout that to you, some of you would be like, well, you should go find another church. And you know what you are? You're no different than that church down in Alabama. We don't want to love those who don't love us. We don't want to do good to those who aren't good towards us. We definitely don't want to bless them. And if we pray for them, we're just going to pray that God kills them. Because we're that kind of evil. But you know, our God is so much better than that. Amen. And he wants you to be like his children. And if he, the God who could smite whoever he would smite, I know, my favorite Bible word, right? If he causes the sun to rise and set on the evil and the good, if he causes it to rain on the evil and the good and provide the nourishment that we all need for life, then surely his children can do good as well. You know what it's going to take this morning for some of us? Surrender to God and to get away from ourselves. This morning, God is calling us to complete surrender to him. Because that's what it takes to live like his children. And he wants to give that to us. 12th Street. Let's be better than the world. And that's such a minimum standard. Let's be better than the world. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. Lord, it is not easy. Sometimes it's not even fun to listen to. Because God, it hits us between the eyes and it convicts us of our sin. It convicts us of our own unrighteousness. The answer to everything we've talked about today is not to just try harder, but it's just about being submissive to you. That we can be like children of our Father. For our God does this. You will enable us to do this. Lord, when you tell us to be perfect, it's not to be religious or righteous in our own righteousness. It's to have the heart attitudes that bring about the proper actions. God, we are not perfect. We are not perfect in our attitudes here this morning. And so, God, we ask you to make us perfect. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Because I believe God has something big he wants to do. If it's just in one heart, that's awesome. I wonder if there's anybody here that's going to say, you know, Pastor Thad, I have chosen, maybe it's just been subconsciously, to hate when you've been hated too. To curse when you've been cursed. And this whole concept has not been something that you've been living. And this morning, God, he's calling you to be like him. He wants you to be like your Father. Now I wonder if there's anybody say, Pastor Thad, could you just pray for me? I need help with this. Amen. 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 God, his hands are lifted. I pray we will do more than just say, pray for me. But Lord, we will take action in our lives to be what you want us to be. I pray that this church right here, that we would be so different than the rest of the world. Lord, we would be so different than other forms of Christianity or religiousness. God, we would just be what you want us to be. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song called White Flag, where we sing about surrendering to the Lord. So my encouragement to you is come surrender. If you've got things in your heart you need to work out, come surrender. Use the front of the church as an altar, and let's do business with our God. Would you stand with me? The battle.
battle rages on, as storm and tempest roar. We cannot win this fight inside our rebel hearts. We lay down our weapons now. It is a white flag. We surrender all to you. All for you. We raise our white flag. The war is over now. You made a way for peace, laying your body down. You took our rightful place. This freedom song is marching on.
Dismiss, but we're not going to be loud as we exit. Be quiet so we can still pray and talk to God. If we can get this whole thing about loving our enemies, blessing them that curse us, doing good to them that despitefully use us and persecute us, praying for them, I'll tell you what, God's going to use us. Father, you know my heart. You know sometimes the thoughts I think that aren't pleasing towards the way that you want me to live. And so, God, I confess that as sin. I ask for your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness this morning. And I enjoy it. God, we are called to be some kind of unusual people that have some kind of awesome impact on this world. Now to him who created all people and from one blood has made all nations and set us in different places, so that we could bring honor and praise and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. To you be glory and honor and power, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name. In 10 minutes, we'll meet back our members. We have a short business meeting. We have an agenda and some financial statements to give. In 10 minutes, we'll meet back here and conduct our business. Lord bless you.